Everybody here, this is our swan song, our last committee of our regular committee meetings, and we have a nice agenda today. We'll go right through it as it's stated. And with that, I will open a public hearing on House Bill 2116. And I presume that the department is going to come up first. All right. John Jackley. Welcome.
Appreciate it. Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm John Jackley with the Highway Division at the Department of Transportation. House Bill 2116 was heard at your away hearing in Dundee, so I won't go through my whole testimony since I've already covered it. I thought I'd just summarize it briefly and be able to answer any questions you might have. The main thing about this bill, of course, is that it does not affect school speed zones. We get that question right. A lot. It doesn't have anything to do with schools. It does, however, reestablish designated speeds on the highways other than the interstates by a single administrative rule for the state, and then specific speeds would be set by speed zone order, which is also the result of a public process. We currently have about 100 to 120 speed zone changes each year. Now, prior to last session, the law was clear that we would have one rule for the whole state, and then we'd do speed zone orders under the authority of that rule. And what a speed zone order is, most of these changes occur at the request of local jurisdictions, the cities and counties, that because of development patterns or safety issues or whatever, they ask the department to either raise or lower or somehow adjust the speeds. And in almost all cases, we work it out and do it under the speed zone order process. But last session, after the passage of House Bill 2661, which was actually a bill that clarified all kinds of speed issues for the courts, for prosecutors, for drivers, for OSP, we received an informal opinion from the Department of Justice that said the language of House Bill 2661 might inadvertently mean that we'd have to do a separate rule for each speed zone change each time. Now, we do between 100 and 120 of these every year. I think we and the taxpayers would greatly like to avoid having to do a whole rule for every single speed zone change that we do. A speed zone change normally takes about 3 months to a year to complete, depending on the complexity of the situation. A separate rule for each speed zone would add 6 months, create a lot more paperwork, a lot more bureaucracy that no one intended. Instead, we'd respectfully ask your support for House Bill 2116. We think it gives Oregon communities the most flexible and quickest way to change speed zones, and it's more responsive to local needs and situations. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
I'm very happy to support your bill, but I do get a little frustrated. We had the jurisdictional exchanges of Ocean Boulevard and Newmark, which were two highways, two state highways, and now they are the city streets. They were used as city streets anyway. And every time they go out to set the speed zone there, they set it pretty much as what most people go. In other words, what most people are traveling, and that becomes the speed. And I'm not sure whether you take into consideration the age of the drivers that are coming in, accessing that road. For instance, we have a whole community of senior citizens that are right next to it, and I don't think those are in the equation, are they?
Madam Chair, age of a
senior settlement.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, let me answer the question this way. When we get a request to change a speed zone in a community like that, it comes to us from the road authority, from the city or the county, and they do a study, which we then review and approve. And if there are communities that have special issues, we would anticipate that the local road authorities, local communities, would take those into consideration. We work real closely with them on the study. If we can't come to agreement, just to give you an idea of the process real quick, we go to the speed zone review panel, which is made up of both local representatives as well as the state police, ODOT, and others, and try and work it out there. But specifically, ODOT would not necessarily be aware of the individual situations,
right,
but we do expect the local jurisdictions in their study to take all those factors into account.
And they maybe haven't given you enough information. I'm going to, I'll look into that, John. Are there any questions left, John? Okay.
Thank you.
And I see that you're the only one, I believe, that's going to testify on the bill. All right. All right, then I will close the public hearing on House Bill 2116, and I'll open a work session on House Bill 2116.
Madam Chair.
Madam Chair. One amendment to HB 2116.
Oh, do we have to?
No.
Madam Chair.
No. We just... Yes. Oh, Senator Starr.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Madam Chair and committee members, I had the dash one and the dash two amendments drafted for House Bill 2116, and I want to thank Hannah and Legislative Council for her quick work on this. Based on your and I conversation just before this committee started, we will withhold those amendments and hopefully have the opportunity to discuss highway speeds in another legislative vehicle later on. The amendments, for those of you in the audience, would have dealt with speeds on interstates. And so I had a conversation, I think, with everybody, every member on the committee prior to the meeting today. And based on our conversation, I think that I'm happy to move this bill as it is without amending it, and we can have that discussion at a later date. So
thank
appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Senator Whitford. I'll have you move the bill without the amendment.
Thank you. Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2116 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
All right, Senate Whitford moves House Bill 2116 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I just want to put on the record, since Senator Whitford started to make a motion to move the dash ones, that this is without the dash ones the bill as written. Just so we have on the record.
Thank you, Senator Krasanski. All right. Any objection? If not, so ordered. All right. I will now open a work session on Senate Bill 481. And I will call Brian Doherty to the table. Judith?
Thank you, Madam Chair Member. Senate Bill 481 deletes the prohibition on the use of roadside rest area structures by organizations providing refreshments at the rest area. You do have before you now the dash one amendments that came out of Legislative Council today. If you will look on the original bill, the dash one amendments just remove part of one line. So starting on line 23, there would be a period after donations, and it deletes the rest of the line in the next line that says that they may not solicit at the rest area. So it's deleting that. If you recall, we had another measure before us where prohibiting solicitation was deemed to be a constitutional violation of protection of free speech. So the amendment actually removes that part of the sentence that prohibits the solicitation. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Did you say go over again? Line 23?
On line 23 of the original bill, you would put a period after the word donations and delete but may not solicit them at the rest area.
Okay. All right. All right. Welcome back.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Brian Doherty on behalf of the Western States Petroleum Association, but I'm actually testifying here as chair of the Travel Information Council, who is seeking these amendments. I can tell you on behalf of ODOT that ODOT is, I believe it was delighted with the amendments and okay with the bill. And we're working very closely with ODOT on this. Before I got educated a lot on solicitation the last time and found out what a buzzsaw we were walking into here, I think we've solved some of that concern, and I think it is a good amendment, this dash one amendment. We urge your passage of this bill, and I'd be glad to answer any questions on the content of the main bill if you'd like.
All right. Any questions? Well, you know, when you have a sharp-eyed Senator Metzger on the committee. You have to be sure that every I is dotted and every T is crossed. I've learned that.
Well, Madam Chair, I'm just looking after the panhandlers. You know, somebody's got to do it.
That's right. That's right. Judith, I don't have the dash one in front of me.
Oh, was it in the... It should have been in the meeting material.
Yeah, I went through my meeting material, but I didn't get it. That's okay. All right. All right, Senator Whitson?
Did you open the work session?
Oh, I have not. Yes, I opened the work session. Yes, I did.
Madam Chair, I move the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 481.
Senator Whitson moves the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 481. Is there any discussion? Any objections? If not, so ordered.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 481 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Whitsett moves Senate Bill 481 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? Not. So ordered. All right. Next, who would like to be the carrier? Anybody?
Well, I like cookies.
Senator Metzger, I think that's appropriate.
Madam Chair, can you carry on the first one?
I do. Would you like to carry that one? Thank you. Senator Przanski will carry House Bill 2116. All right. I will open a work session on Senate Bill 680. And I don't have the list in front of me, but Senator Johnson.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Betsy Johnson. I'm the state senator from District 16. Let me start by extending my sincere appreciation for your jaw-dropping amount of patience with this bill. The committee has also been extremely patient, and I appreciate that. Senate Bill 680 continues to be a work in progress. We just got amendments at about 1:30 this afternoon, and recognizing the chair's direction that when Mr. Rindy from DLCD is happy that you'll be happy, I think Mr. Rindy is here to say how happy he is. I recognize, however, and I want to be clear on the record, that the chair of the Department of Aviation has not seen these, the board, nor has the professional staff there. I've just spoken with Mr. Hidley, and it is not our intention to try to do anything nefarious or behind their backs. And so recognizing that we have not extended the courtesy of allowing them to see these latest amendments. These would be the dash sixes that would replace the fives, and the fives replace the original bill. We would respectfully ask that you and the committee think about moving this bill forward, recognizing that we are very eager to please all the folks that are unhappy with it in its current state, and that we will work diligently on the House side to make those adjustments and make sure that the Department of Aviation is comfortable with this. You and this committee would see it again in concurrence when it returns. And so I just want to be very clear that we are still working on some of the nuances in the bill. Particularly, I want to make sure that Senator Przanski and the city of Eugene recognize that in no way would this do anything to facilitate through the fence at a busy, complex airport like Eugene, recognizing how vital that airport is to the economic vitality of the greater Eugene area. It was never the intention of this bill to pull commercial service airports in, and we want to extend the courtesy to Mr. Noble to make sure that he sees these amendments. So with that, I would respectfully request that the committee do the work session on this bill, allow us to continue to move it forward, recognizing that this committee will be closing. You have my absolute word. We'll continue to be inclusive in our process, and particularly, I want to just say again for emphasis, I have the highest respect for Mike Burrell, the chair of the Aviation Board. I know that he and his fellow board members have had some issues with this. They haven't had a chance to see it or thoughtfully discuss it other than one board meeting that I attended, and you have my commitment that we will make sure that they are actively engaged on the House side. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions or to invite Mr. Rindy to join me to tell you how happy he is.
I would like to have him come forward, Senator Johnson. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Bob Rindy with the Department of Land Conservation and Development. And unaccustomed as I am to having my happiness actually cause a bill to move, nevertheless, and I'm realizing that some of you may be concerned about that precedent, I am here to tell you that I have looked at the, I think they're the Dash 6s in draft form. I just saw them about an hour ago, and they resolve all the concerns that we had, and we would happily support this bill if those were inserted.
And I'm just going to ask both of you to stay there, and then I'm going to open it to questions. Questions of either one. Senator Starr.
Thank you. So, Senator Johnson, in your request is for us to adopt the Dash 5s to move the bill forward.
Madam Chair, Senator Starr, I would like you to adopt the Dash 6s. Those are the ones that make Mr. Rindy happy.
They're
a draft at this moment.
Okay. Okay.
Madam Chair.
Yes. Senator Prezant.
Just want to follow up. I'm looking at, just for the record, which proposed amendment for Senate Bill 680, dated 42805, LC 1451. Under Section 2, page 1, it has a sub 3, and it looks like the definition for rural airport has been narrowed compared to what was in the Dash 5s. And if I'm reading it correctly, what was in the Dash 5s on page 2, subsection 3, line 5 and 6 is now out, which would take out outside the urban growth boundary of a city with a population of 75,000 or more, and then it continues. So that's no longer going to be part of the definition for rural airport. Is that correct? What it appears is the only thing that's left in the definition for the Dash 6 proposals is what was 3B, starting on page 2, starting on line 7.
Are you reading from the Dash 5s or the Dash 6s?
I'm reading from both.
Oh, from both.
The Dash 6, which is just in the proposal, it just says on that front page, it has a section, subsection 2, subsection 3.
Oh, I see.
And there it says rural airport. It says principally serves an city or metropolitan area with a population of 75,000 or less.
Madam Chair, Senator Prezantsky, I don't think it speaks to in or outside the urban growth boundary.
Okay. So that looks like that might be a happy fix for the city of Eugene.
Madam Chair, Senator Prezantsky, in no way did we want to affect Eugene.
We won't go anywhere near Eugene, nowhere close to that.
Yeah. It also eliminates Hillsborough.
Okay. I want the committee to be really comfortable with this. Are you comfortable in moving the draft amendments?
I'd like to look at it in a second. Could Mr. Rindy tell us what changes have been made, because we're looking at this for the first time, and maybe while we're looking at them, you can tell us what your concerns were and how those have been changed in the proposed Act 6s.
Mr. Chair, Senator Metzger, you'll note on the first page of the Dash 6s that a list of uses had been originally part of the bill, and we were concerned a little bit about, especially number K, because it was so wide open, and that this was a new list. You'll note that that's all been removed, and in its place, on page 2, starting at line 2, is the use list that's currently in statute, including 836.616 sub 3, that's on line 4, which is the authorization currently in statute to expand the list.
Line 4. What document?
I'm sorry. I'm looking at the Dash 6s.
Yeah, we don't have them in a form like you have.
Oh.
Yeah,
I do.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, I apologize for arriving with a document that, as the committee administrator pointed out, is not one that she has seen. I was in committee until 3 with the chair, and these are very newly minted Dash 6s, and they ended up in a format that I don't think is customary for use in the building. We have a copy of the Dash 6s presented in the more customary form, but I don't know how many copies exist. Whatever the committee would like as far as getting copies circulated, we'd be happy to do.
I think that we should do that. The committee is not that large, And I think we'll just stand at ease until they can get...
Madam Chair, we'd be happy to have you work the rest of your agenda and stand aside. I know that you have others here to testify on other bills, and we'd be happy to get those documents ready for the committee so you can come back in a more customary format.
All right. Thank you, Senator Johnson. With that, I will recess the work session on Senate Bill 680, and I will open...
2016, it should be quick.
I'm going to go to 640.
Oh, gotcha.
I'm going to open the work session on Senate Bill 640. Judith, just tell us what that is, and then I'll be able to...
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Senate Bill 640, you should now have in your file the Dash 16 amendments, and I'll briefly walk through those. Those replace the original measure. The Dash 16 amendments define biometric data to include fingerprints and facial measurements. It directs ODOT to require a person to submit biometric data establishing the person's identity before issuing, renewing, or replacing any driver's license, permit, or identification card. The above requirement would be in addition to the proofs for identity, age, and residence already required by rule. It provides that the department will be satisfied with the establishment of identity if, first, the biometric data matches the biometric data on record if that person is already has, for example, a driver's license and is just going for renewal. If biometric data is not available on that particular person, then the biometric data submitted must not match others' biometric data that are on record with the department. It directs the department to mail the driver's license, permit, or identification card to the address provided by the person once the identity has been sufficiently established. It requires documents to be mailed within, and you'll see a blank in the bill. It will have a particular number of days from the application date which the person can expect the driver's license or other document to be mailed. And it also specifies the number of days if an unspecified, again, blank fee is paid for an expedited process if that person might need that document in a shorter period of time. It requires the department, when the identity is not established, to first of all inform the person of that fact and to also provide the person with the opportunity to establish their identity through an alternative means that they would establish by rule. It requires the department to notify law enforcement and DMV field offices if the person submitting the application or an applicant on file is believed to be involved in a crime of identity theft. It holds employees harmless for any damages resulting from the issuing of documents under another person's identity if the identity was established as prescribed. It requires the department to retain a database of biometric data. It prohibits biometric data to be made available to anyone other than law enforcement acting under subpoena or department employees acting in their official capacity. It allows the department to impose a fee of not more than $3 for covering the cost of purchasing equipment and establishing and maintaining a biometric database. It requires security features used in the production of licenses to provide for, first of all, authentication of a genuine document in a reasonable time frame. That the equipment can verify the operator that's producing the driver's license or other document, that they need to be identified themselves through one piece of biometric data, and that the identifying information of the person who issued the license is also available within the record. It requires the issuance of driver's licenses, permits, and identification cards from a centralized issuance system. It allows the department to extend any contract without a competitive bidding process related to the security procedures, processes, and materials used in the preparation, manufacture, and issuance of licenses, permits, or ID cards, provided that the extended contract is financially prudent and consistent with Sections 3 and 4 of the measure. It repeals this contract allowance on January 1st, 2010. It repeals ORA's ORS 807.162 as of January 1st, 2007, and you should have a reference to that from previous iterations in discussing the bill. And it makes specified sections operative also January 1st, 2007.
All right. Thank you, Judith. Due to the lengthy amendment and the complexity of this bill, it will be moved now on our last day to the Committee on Rules. And I'll ask Senator Whitsett to help me take care of that.
Do you wish to amend it before you vote?
Madam Chair, I move
the dash 16.
Excuse me?
Yeah, you got to move the dash.
No, just move the bill.
Just move the bill with.
We're not going to, unless we're going to deliberate on the 16s, and it sounds like we're not doing that. It just needs to go to rules, and they will deliberate in rules on that or any other amendments.
Let me think about that.
If we have the option of deliberating tonight and adopting them, so you could be sending it with a recommendation to have the 16s appropriated, or you can send it along with the
amendments. It has been suggested that the committee send on the original bill without the dash 16 amendments. Is there any comment from committee members on that?
Madam Chair.
Senator Hart.
On the one hand, it's a little frustrating that that there's been a significant amount of work that's gone into the work on these amendments, and that has been work that has been at your direction, and I believe that you know, this is the policy committee that is appropriate for this discussion, and you know, we've got a set of amendments that I'm familiar with. I've had opportunity to review. I don't know. It seems to me that this is the appropriate place to have that work done. But if the will of the chair is to just move the bill to rules and let them do that policy work, I guess that's your prerogative.
Well, I know the issues that you're faced with today. I would prefer to have some committee discussion on this. We've only got one other bill that's before the committee today. And so I think we have an opportunity to have some discussion on it. I think maybe that might give us a temperature level of whether of where we might be in terms of adopting anything at this point or not. But I agree with Senator Starr that at least the committee should weigh in on what we have before us in some form of discussion.
Senator Whitson, do you have any comments?
I think this is an appropriate project to look at the 16.
And Madam Chair, I've got real concerns. This is the first time I've seen the amendments. They sound like they have some of the stuff that the work group's been working on. My understanding from earlier discussion, the bill was going to move to rules where it was going to actually be deliberated there, because there's probably going to be additional work there. This is, if the bill was ready to go today, then we should do it, but it's not. There's still more step work to be done, and it seemed, from my perspective at this point, that we should allow it to go to the committee that's actually going to be making final deliberations as to what it is. I don't know if there are the various interest groups who might want to be talking about the dash 16s that are even here to give any comment on that.
Which I'm posted for public hearing.
Right. But I guess what I would just say is I think it should go to the Rules Committee. We can go there, we can make our recommendations and deliberation and discussions there, but that's how my comfort right there, because I've read through part of it and I see something expanded that I raised a concern about that's going to broaden the scope of it.
Right. Well, I don't think that if it goes with the dash 16 amendments, it means necessarily that we've adopted the dash 16 amendments. I just mean that it goes to rules. But Judith?
Madam Chair, could I just ask on procedural? The bill, my understanding, what we're trying to do is move the bill to rules so they will have control of it, since this committee is shutting down.
Right.
They can actually work it. There's been no amendments that have been adopted. all of the amendments are up for play. Mm-hmm. All 16 that are currently before us, and any others that could come up after this time. And it would seem at this point that for us to be picking one versus the others, where we have only had cursory review of some of them, this one has just been given to us today, that we're basically changing the bill.
Well, this all replaces the bill.
Madam Chair, I just have a suggestion.
Okay.
I didn't realize until looking at the agenda that we don't have it set for public hearing. And so one suggestion I might make is that since we are only set for work session, would be to send the bill to rules. I don't think I would not want to amend a bill that I haven't had deliberated on. So, and there's holes, by the way, in 16. So there's going to be more printing done, so we can save a little printing. But what I would recommend is that we would send it to rules without recommendation, since the original bill, I don't think we probably, most people would support. That's why it's been worked on so hard. And then also request the Senate President to ask that any members of the Senate Transportation Committee be appointed for the purpose of deliberating this bill, since we won't have committee, to join the Rules Committee for the purpose of the deliberation of this bill.
Well, I don't know about that. I do want to send it. And I certainly think that probably any one of us would be welcome at the dais and in Rules if we ask. I've never been refused, and I've asked. Several times.
No, I'm not saying that we would be denied, but I'm saying if members wanted to weigh in officially on this, we can make that request to the Senate President.
My problem is with sending it on is, and Senator Krasanski is exactly right in characterizing it as to what we want to do, and that is because we're shutting down and it is not ready, that we send it on to rules where it will be deliberated. My question with you is, do we send it along with any amendments, or do we just send the original bill? But I presume if we just send the original bill, that I'm just trying to think it through for myself so that I'm comfortable with it, that then those that are working the bill present their amendments to the Rules Committee. Is everybody comfortable with that?
Well,
Senator Starr, are you comfortable with that?
That's fine. And that's
okay.
That's what happens when you shut committees down.
Madam Chair,
yes.
For your comfort level, we're not taking any deliberation on anything except just moving the bill.
Right.
We have all of these that can be considered by the Rules Committee. That's the committee that's going to give it, plus anything else that might come forward. And so we're not taking anything off the table. We're basically giving them a bill that we had that we've worked on. And I think what Senator Metzger has stated, and I think what the Chair said, I've never been refused to be able to sit at the table. And if we want to, if it gives more comfort, I don't see why the Chair couldn't make the request in a letter to the President asking that we have that opportunity if we want to. But I don't think that the Chair of the Rules Committee is going to deny us that opportunity. I've never seen it happen in this process.
Okay, I think it's pretty well a consensus then that we will send it as the original bill without amendments, and I think I'm okay with that. I had it just in my mind that it would go with the 16th Amendment, but all right.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 640 to the floor without recommendation and the bill be referred to the Committee on Rules.
Senator Whitsett moves Senate Bill 640 to the floor without recommendation and the bill be referred to the Committee on Rules. Is there any discussion?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I think this is a good move because there's been a lot of work put into it. It does still need some work, it appears, to give the opportunity for all of those who have whatever interest in it to be able to provide the information that they have regarding which set of amendments is most appropriate or sets of amendments. And then that committee will be able, through its deliberations, determine what should be adopted or not adopted coming forward.
Thank you, Senator Krasanski. Any other comments? The clerk will call the roll.
Senator Metzger?
Aye.
Senator Krasanski?
Aye.
Senator Starr? Senator Whitsitt?
Aye.
Chair Berger?
Aye. All right. Having received the required number of votes, it moves to the general rules, and I will close the work session. We now have the dash six amendments in a different form. I will reopen Senate Bill 680 and ask Senator Johnson to return.
Bring you for the moment. And I could ask for a point of clarification on this. Oh, here she is.
All right, Senator Johnson, we're back with you on Senate Bill 680 with the dash six amendment.
Thank you. I have just been notified, and I know that I am stretching the patience of the chair, and I am stretching the patience of the committee. In the drafting, and if I stray, I'm going to ask staff to come up here. This all happened while I was in committee, but I want to be absolutely as forthright with the committee as I can be.
Okay.
This bad print one with the unfamiliar, this was emailed to my office.
Right.
This is the exact language that now represents the dash sixes. What you were brought a few minutes ago that is the more familiar format, if you turn to the very end, you will see it's missing a sentence. And I just want to be clear that this is a product on the top of page six. You'll notice that it says within 6 months after A, and it disappears. And so this is a result of the haste out of legislative council, and I'm not being critical. I'm just stating as a fact some words got left out. The little bitty print one that you have is the language.
Mine has within 1 year.
Yeah, within 1 year and after the rules are completed.
In the new.
Is that what it should say?
Why don't you help me? State your name.
Is that in this version?
Handwritten.
Oh, handwritten. Okay, you do have the hand engrossed one. Then.
Yeah, we have.
Okay, I apologize, and I've made a confusing situation more confusing because I don't have the benefit of the hand engrossed. My draft just ends. It says within 6 months after A and just disappears off the end of the page.
And since we've got a record, I think we just need to have identification.
Yes.
John Hillman, staff for Senator Johnson.
So I just wanted to be accurate about what I believe to be a missing sentence, but I think you have a hand engrossed version.
I think we do. It's handwritten into this.
Start.
Yeah, and Madam Chair.
I have a question. Senator Pruszynski?
Yeah, I was looking at the stuff that came over the email. And that looks like it has, when you look at the pages, has three pages. Page two at the bottom has section four, and then it has sub one, two, and three.
Correct.
And then it stops. Where on the dash six that's in the draft form that we're more accustomed with actually has been what looks to be a section five that's been lined out.
And I'm going to ask staff to comment on why that has occurred.
Chair Berger, Senator Pruszynski, that would be the sunset provision. That was lined out because it was sort of determined that once those improvements are put in at any facility, they're not going to go away after the program is over, and so it was simply deleted.
Okay. Ergo, no need for a sunset.
We're discussing whether it has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. And I'm asking my able staff here, would you like to respond, Judith?
And I might ask just for a point of clarification so the members are clear. I have from fiscal an estimate on the dash threes. And that the members have that indicates less than $50,000 impact, so that would put it below the threshold. Now, right now, it does have subsequent referral to Ways and Means, so the question is with the dash six is if it may change the fiscal And I don't know if the department wants to comment or...
Madam Chair, respectfully, as the department comes forward, I think Mr. Hidley said yesterday, or Monday in the testimony, minimal impact on the department. He has not, and I again apologize to him on the record, seen the Dash 6s, but the Dash 6s and subsequent amendments after the Dash 3s continue to narrow the scope of the expectation of the department. So anything subsequent to the Dash 3s greatly narrowed the responsibility of the department.
Rescind the referral. Okay. I'll do the motion.
Senator Metzger, any comments?
I'm just looking at it here.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I've just been informed Mr. Rindy has information with respect to the fiscal and DLCD.
All right.
And again, for the record, I'm Bob Rindy with DLCD. In looking at the Dash 6s, it looks to me, and I just saw them an hour ago, but that before we were concerned that we would have to amend statewide planning goals for 3 airports, and there's a fiscal impact when you amend statewide planning goals because we do have to have 10 hearings around the state. It's extensive work. As I read the Dash 6s, we would no longer have to do that. So I think most of our fiscal would go away.
Yeah. And that was $33,000 of it, I see.
Yes.
I just want to kind of put on the record that ordinarily we would just simply have you come back, but that's not possible because we're closing down the committee. And so because of that reason, we're trying to give as much leeway here as possible so that we can take care of 680 while we're open. And I want the committee to be comfortable with the Dash 6s and moving it with them. Is that?
I would be absolutely comfortable with moving the Dash 6s and with Senator Johnson's assurance that she will continue to work on any other issues as it moves through the process.
Yeah. And Madam Chair, I had spoken with one of the individuals that are a proponent, and I told him I wasn't sure where I would be able to be on the bill. I'm going to give a vote of yes to here in committee to move it forward to the floor.
Right.
I'm more comfortable seeing the Dash 6s because one of the concerns I know that some of my constituents were concerned with was the broadness of the definition of rural airport. It looks like that's been addressed. So I'm willing to move the bill forward at this time with the understanding that I will be checking with my constituents to make certain, based on what the Dash 6 is now, not only takes care of that, there's no other issues that may have been raised. And I will tell the chair prior to, and also Senator Johnson, if there is a need for me to reconsider my vote on the floor.
All right. Senator Whitsett.
Madam Chair, I move the Dash 6 amendment to Senate Bill 680.
All right. Senator Whitsett moves the Dash 6 amendments to Senate Bill 680. Any discussion? Any objections? Not so.
Madam Chair, I move the Senate Bill 680 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means to be rescinded.
Senator DeWitt moves Senate Bill 680 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means to be rescinded. Any discussion? Any objection? If not...
Thank you, Madam Chair. And again, just in conclusion, I want to thank you for your extraordinary patience, as well as the patience of the committee in working this through. And you have my absolute commitment. We'll continue with an inclusive process. And as a courtesy to the chair, keep you informed as to what we're doing as the bill moves through the process over onto the House side.
All right. Thank you. Senator Johnson. Senator Johnson, you'll carry the bill?
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, he's been doing that. Uh-huh. He's been doing that. All right, I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2068A. I don't have my... Oh, yes, I do. Bob Hidley, Department of Aviation, come forward. Welcome. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you. Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Bob Hidley, Director of the Oregon Department of Aviation. And I brought with me today John Wilson. He's our business manager, and he administers our program on registering state aircraft. Okay. So if we have questions I can't answer, it's up to him.
All right. Welcome.
Thank you.
He'll give your name.
My name is John Wilson. I'm the business manager for the Oregon Department of Aviation.
All right.
We have a program where we require aircraft that are based in Oregon to be registered with our state. There was a little bit of confusion when we had the last hearing. The FAA actually registers aircraft nationwide, and you're required, if you own an airplane, to register with them. The problem comes in that once you've registered with the FAA, it's unlike, say, a car registration or a boat, there's no procedure in place for the FAA to update their list. If you sell your airplane, if you destroy it, remove it from active flying, the registration stays in effect really forever. So we have a list of approximately 12,000 aircraft from the FAA that we use as a basis of sending out renewal forms every year and the basis for who owns an airplane in Oregon. So out of that 12,000, about 7,600 airplanes are currently registered with our state. And that leaves about 3,000 that are unaccounted for. And the last time we had a hearing, there was some concern about that. So we went ahead and we did a survey of all the other state aviation departments like ours. And I'm passing out the results of the survey. We got 20 responses back to find out what they do with this problem. And what I found out is about 60% of the FAA's registration list is inaccurate, which kind of confirms with the 3,000 aircraft that we don't know who, if they're still really here as airplanes.
Madam Chair,
yes.
Could you give us that percentage again? I'd say 60?
It's up to as much as 60%.
Thank you.
So when we register aircraft in our state, there are some airplanes that, as maybe as much as 60%, that the airplanes really aren't there anymore. They've been destroyed, dismantled. They're somewhere else, but they're on the books with the FAA, but they're not really in existence anymore. So there is a problem knowing how many airplanes there are in the state. So what we're going to do to solve that, we're doing two things. We're going to purge from our list any known discrepancies. We'll be sending out renewal notices to every aircraft left in that list, and if we get it back from the owner saying the airplane's been destroyed, removed from the state or something, we'll purge that from our list. And also, because we now are implementing a new computer program for this system, we'll now have a computer list of which airplanes are registered. So as we go around the state, our employees to inspect airports, do maintenance, our employees are going to carry PDAs with them with a current list of all the license numbers in the state. And they can do spot checks as we go around airports to find out the airplanes we see, are they registered or not. So that's how we hope to increase the amount of aircraft that are registered, if there isn't any, and to do spot checks for enforcement. So I hope that answers the questions that we had last time we had a hearing on this.
Stay right there. I'm going to have Judith tell us what this measure does.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. House Bill 2068A clarifies and modifies the requirements for the registration of civil aircraft and removes certain out-of-date registration requirements. It removes requirements related to the timing and the amount of late registration fees and allows the State Board of Aviation to set such fees by rule, provided that they do not exceed the original registration fee. It removes language related to registration anniversary dates and language dating from World War II that required planes that flew over the state to be registered. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Questions of Mr. Henley or our staff? That's really a problem, and that's a big job facing you. Because I would presume you have a lot of aircraft that you're going to spot check, but then there's going to be a lot that you're not going to. Are you going to rotate? I'm not sure how you're going to cover all the bases that you need to cover.
Well, as we visit different airports in the state, we'll be spot checking the airplanes that we see to see if they're registered as we find them. I don't know any better way of doing that.
Right.
Other than something very labor intensive, we don't have the manpower to go to every airport, including 300 private airports, and see what airplanes are really there. So this seems to be the most efficient way of really minimal cost to do it. And it's our belief that almost every airplane is registered today.
What about these where you have all these people that are living on small airports or ground strips and keeping planes and hangars next to their homes? And aren't those included in what you want to get registered?
Yes, it is. There's 300 privately owned airports in the state. So there's probably somewhere over 300 airplanes at least at those airports. And we do sometimes, and John's been doing this too, we do inspect privately owned airports also. And as we go there, or if they happen to be flying at an airport that we're at, then we'll check that airplane at that time.
Do you have a list of all the owners of civil aircraft in Oregon? Are people registered? Everybody's registered with you, so you have a database?
Well, that's the problem. The FAA database is full of errors. We have a database of the ones that have registered with us, but there's conflicts because there's approximately 3,000 aircraft that are not registered with us, and it's our belief that the vast majority of those just don't exist. So that's why we want to go out and spot check and update the records we have. And this is the same problem every other state has, that charges some kind of fee or registration fee or tax on aircraft to find out which airplanes are really there.
Okay, any questions at all?
Sure. I'm not, I guess, really following. You have a group of airplanes, as many as the preponderance of 3,000 airplanes that are registered with you that you don't think exist.
No. We have 7,600 aircraft that are registered,
yes.
And there's about 3,000 more that are not registered with us from the FAA list of aircraft.
And of those 3,000, you think the preponderance of the planes actually don't exist?
That's correct.
Okay. No, I'm with you now.
The problem is, for example, to renew your car registration, you have to go to DMV, give proof of insurance, and that kind of thing. So it's a current list.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no requirement to ever contact the FAA again once you've initially registered your airplane.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I owned an airplane. I sold it 15 years ago. About a year after that, it crashed and was destroyed and dismantled, but yet it's still on the list as if it's an actively flying airplane. That's the problem with the FAA's list.
Mm.
So
that's interesting. All right. Well, I'm going to move House Bill. Let's see. I did open the work session tonight. I mean, the public hearing.
Yeah.
I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2068A, and then I'll open a work session.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2068A to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Whitsett moves House Bill 2068A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Madam Chair, I did have one question for our panel. I apologize. You may have covered it, and I just didn't hear it. Once we go through this process the first time, is there going to be some type of periodic renewal so we don't find ourselves dealing with this issue in the future? Or is there any other duty that's been required of the people to let you know that that aircraft has actually been moved or destroyed,
right,
dismantled?
Right. Well, we send out renewal notices annually because we have an annual registration fee.
Okay.
And it comes back, they won't pay the fee if the aircraft's been removed.
Right. Okay.
Right.
Thank you. I apologize.
All right. Very good. All right. Any other discussion? Any objection? If not, seeing none, so ordered. Well, committee, all I can tell you is that we need a carrier. Who would like to carry? It's been great serving with you, but we'll be back together at some point. It's at the call of the chair, and the president will tell us when they have some things for us to hear.
The House of Representatives catches up with their work.
Yeah, there you go.
Doesn't keep us here all summer, I hope.
I know. I hope not, too, Senator Metzger. I hope not. All right. Well, if there's no other business today to come before this body, I'll call the meeting adjourned.
All right.